You know, last week, I finished our series on overcoming fear. And I shared that God, I believe, for Grace Crossing Church, has called us to be bold and courageous in 2019. When I think of this entire year, I think of boldness, that we need to be bold. I talked about fear. There's no excuse. We don't need to give in to our fear, but we need to be bold. And I went through six steps of boldness last week. I believe that we need to be bold in prayer. I believe that we need to be bold in relationships, that we seek intentional relationships amongst one another this year. We need to be bold in placing our vision goals, and I talked about that last year. Have you set some goals for 2019? Have you set some goals for the next 5, 10, 15 years? Life goals, and I talked about that last week. And we also, I believe, our fourth goal, our fourth step should be we need to be bold in personal growth. Not only setting goals for the next year, 5 years, 10 years, but enjoying the journey of setting up 1 to 3 personal growth plans for this year. How can I grow towards one of my life goals? And I talked about that last week. Also, we need to be bold in our personal witness for Jesus. Are you being bold to go and build friendships with people outside the church, intentional relationships with a person at the grocery store? That we all need to be bold in purposefully building relationships with those. And then the last one, we need to be bold in obeying the word of Jesus to go. Beginning this month with the Salvation Army, as we go out and begin to give food to those needy in our community, as God opens up other opportunities to give. In 2019, we will boldly obey the words of Jesus to go, no matter what. We will become a church that goes and does not only take, but we will go out to our community. Boldness for 2019. Boldness. No fear, no holding back. It's time for us to be bold. And I think this scripture summarizes 2019 for me, for our church. And it's Isaiah 41:10. And it says this: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This year of boldness, may we hold on to this promise of God. 2019 will be a year of boldness, and God is going to do some incredible things. But over the next 40 days, beginning next Sunday, I am calling for a church-wide time of prayer and fasting, a 40-day season of prayer and fasting. In the past years, we've gone through like a week where we just do a full week of prayer and fasting, where people would come every night on Monday to Friday, and we'd meet here at the church. This year, I want to do something different. I want us to go through over the next 40 days a season of prayer and fasting. This year, will you join me on this journey and this adventure? Will you make a commitment this year, this next 40 days, to be committed to pray daily, not only for your own personal needs, which we'll be talking about in a minute, but for the needs of our church? Will you take time to prayer? Will you take time to fast? I believe personally God is calling me to more fasting. And to be honest with you, I don't want to. You know that part of your flesh? You feel God's calling and a part of you is going, I don't like it. I mean, honest with you. But recently, more than ever, as I've been going through that book on prayer, it's like prayer does something, it's powerful. But when you put fasting with it, it almost like energizes and adds more power to it. And I'm just calling all of us, and I ask all of us to come on this journey. Will you decide, hey, I'm going to fast a meal this week? I'm going to fast a day this week. I'm going to fast from electronics on this day, and I'm just going to spend time in prayer. Will you take that challenge for the next 40 days of prayer and fasting? There's a book that I recommend during this 40 days of prayer. You know, I have people tell me, Reed, I want when you teach, I want application. I want ways till we could live this out. Well, here it is. If you will join me for the next 40 days, there is a prayer book that is very helpful that can help teach us to pray. And that's that prayer called, it is a prayer called The Circle Maker. And it's by Mark Batterson. Get the book. We don't start this until next Sunday. 40 days of prayer and fasting. But he also has a book, if you're going to really be part of this, I want to do this. I may not know how to pray very good, but I'm going to learn how to pray. This is the time to do it. And he has another book that goes along with the 40 days of prayer, and it's called Drawing the Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge. Would you get those books? If you have a Kindle, get it online. Start reading. On Wednesday nights, when we have our prayer meeting, I'm going to be taking portions, different little portions from these books to help guide our prayer time. But will you be bold in prayer in 2019? So the prayer and fasting challenge will begin January 13th, so next Sunday, from February 21st, 40 days of prayer. And I want to invite everyone to be a part of that. Not to sit on the sideline. Not, oh, I wish I could do it. I don't know how to pray. Remember, no fear, boldness. We can learn to pray. We're at all different levels of prayer. It is time we pray, because when we pray, God moves. And I want God to move here in our church, and I want God to move in our community. And there's a promise, and you won't really understand much of this until you read the book, but there's a promise. And one thing that that Mark Batterson says is when you say have a prayer, when God gives you a promise, you begin to circle that prayer by God's promise. So, for example, say if God gave you a promise, you know, you find a promise on, on strength. I need strength, Lord. Lord, I just feel I don't have strength to be pursuing you. I need strength. Say that comes to your mind, and then God leads you to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you begin to pray for spiritual strength, for the will to pursue God, and you begin to pray that, you quote that scripture, you circle that in your mind and go, Lord, I circle this request with your promise. And I will pray, I will pray, I will hit the door of heaven, I will pray that until you answer my prayer. And he talks about in The Circle Maker of praying circles. Well, our promise, this promise, I want us to circle for these next 40 days of prayer and fasting, is from Ephesians 3, chapter 20, and it says this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Is this incredible? Do you believe it when you pray? Believe it. When we pray in these next 40 days, God's going to do more than we can imagine. But we have to get on this journey together. We need to fight through it. Because right when you choose to pray, the devil's on there, right there, and he's going to, just like I talk about my flesh of not wanting to fast or whatever, he's going to attack you, he's going to make you discouraged, all these things are going to come in, not make you discouraged. He'll put discouragement in your life because you can overcome it because no fear, right? But he will throw things into your path to discourage you for the next 40 days. But if we fight through it, if we wrestle through prayer and break through, God's going to do something incredible. It's going to be a battle. Be ready for it. But go in it with your hands up and fight through it, and God will do great things. And for the next 7 weeks, I will be teaching a series called Bold Prayers of the Bible. What greater time to talk about, go through our 40 days of prayer and fasting and to do 7 weeks of the bold prayers of the Bible when we look at people in the Bible and how they prayed, that they will teach us how to pray. I keep asking, Lord, teach me to pray, because I feel like I've just kind of waded into it a little bit and there's so much to prayer. So we will be going through a 7-week series on bold prayers of the Bible. And as we pray and fast, you guys, God's going to do something incredible. But let me just say this one thing when we begin to pray. One thing that I'm learning when you pray. If you go into prayer with expectation of encountering God, you encounter God. You know, I used to pray more, and I'd be tired in the morning. I'd kick my feet up, and I'd be praying, and I'm thinking, for me, as I started putting my feet down to keep myself awake, but wanting to come expectantly, I'm coming into the presence of God. There's times I get on my knees because I want to show humility, and I'm not just coming here just to come in expectation, fight through the battle. And more as I begin to pray and do that, there's times I come, and God may not even say anything to my heart or anything, but I'll come there, and I will sense a connection with God. Even though I cannot describe it in words, it's renewing, and it's powerful. And there's times he speaks, there's times he gives scripture, he'll lead someone, put someone on your mind, whatever. Just come in with expectation and God will encounter you, because God wants to speak to you if we'd only listen. So today, in our first bold prayer of the Bible, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. But I want to ask the kids who are here today. I just finished a series with the kids as you look up 1 Samuel chapter 1. Kids, Acts. We've been talking about prayer. What does A mean when it comes to prayer? Anybody? Kelton. Adoration. Of coming in prayer and adoration to God when we come to Him in prayer. What does C mean? Confession. Taking time to confess your sins to God when you come in prayer. What's T? Thanksgiving, coming to God with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. S, supplication. One interpretation of supplication is begging, of just like, I will, oh, God, please. That's just part of it. But pleading with God to move. And next week with the kids, I'm having the kids bring their Bibles. We're doing some scripture memory. We're talking about the importance of God's word in our life. And just to let you know, parents, I'm asking the kids to bring their Bibles. There's a notebook. If they didn't get a notebook for me, to bring a notebook, bring a pen. I gave them a card. We'll be memorizing the books of the Bible. We have a whole points and prize thing, incentive chart up. And we're also collecting money for missions from our kids during our Sunday school. So kids, remember that. Sunday at 9:30, bring your Bibles, bring a pen, bring a notebook, bring money for missions, and we have the kids know what they need to bring. And we're doing that. I'm teaching the kids how to spend time with God. And we talked about prayer. And our kids have learned to pray in 2019. And we're going to dig into how to spend time in God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, again, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 1. 1 Samuel 1, beginning in verse 1, says this. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Neph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah's wife and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. So here we have a picture of a husband with two wives, with Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was barren, and Peninnah had children. And each year, her husband, with her wife and kids, would go to the city of Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. It was a yearly tradition. We're going to go down, we're going to worship, and we're going to sacrifice to God. And during that sacrifice, he would give a portion of his sacrifice to his wives. He'd give them to Peninnah and her children. But then he would give a double portion to Hannah. He had a special love for Hannah. Maybe Hannah was his favorite. We don't know, but it sure seems a possibility. But he'd give a double portion to Hannah of the meat of the sacrifice. But you know what? I don't know about you when you think of if you're a husband having several wives. Some guys might fantasize that'd be pretty cool to have many wives. But you know what? I don't think we really understand quite the drama that took place when men had many wives. And here we see one of those dramas of even mentions in Scripture, her rival, Hannah's rival. So you see two wives that come down for worship and sacrifice, and then you have one has children, one does not. The Lord closed Hannah's womb while Peninnah had children, and then her rival, during the feast, during whatever the sacrifice and eat the meal, begins to provoke poor Hannah. Do you ever wonder what she said to her? First, in that culture, if you could not have children, that was very shameful. The blessing God on an individual. If you didn't have children, you weren't looked at as having the blessing of God. So you can just imagine what Peninnah was saying to Hannah. Oh, Hannah, you don't have any kids. Oh, Hannah, you know, I mean, this whole jealousy between two rival wives over their husband, wanting his attention, wanting his love. She wants children. She has nothing. Peninnah has all these children, and she's provoking her to tears where she will not eat. And she weeps. And this happened year after year after year. Poor Hannah being provoked by the rival wife. This went on for years. But then we see in this passage as we continue where Hannah comes to that breaking point. She's miserable. Her husband tries to comfort her. It does not work. So what does Hannah do? As she comes to that breaking point, comes to that place of despair, what does she do? And if you have your Bibles, keep it open to 1 Samuel, beginning in verse 8. Let me just read this passage. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? Come on, guy. Am I not better than 10 sons? Come on. Okay, yeah, okay. He's trying to comfort her. She wants children. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she was continuing to pray before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken unto now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning to worship before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, and he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bowls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. What a beautiful story. Hannah was brought to the place of desperation, of grief and bitterness. And what did she do? She went to the doorpost of the tabernacle. And she begins to pour out her heart to God, her bitterness, her anguish. And she comes out with a very bold prayer. "Lord, if you will give me a male child, I will give him to you." She's pleading with God. "If you will just take this away, give me a child, I will give him to you. And no razor will come to his head." If you look in the Old Testament, there's called a Nazarite vow, where someone would be separated unto the Lord, where that person would not eat, would not drink wine, would not shave their head for a season or period of time. And she's offering her first and only. She doesn't have no children, but she said, "God, if you will listen to me, if you show me favor and give me a child, I give him to you." And what happened? God gave her a child. I don't know about you. I was talking to my wife when we were driving. Could you imagine Hannah after she was pregnant? Obviously, you're excited because God answered your prayer. But now she is going to give up her child to serve the Lord all the days of his life. What a commitment. I don't know about you, but your firstborn, she's been waiting all these years, but she had a bold prayer. God answered her bold prayer, gave her a child, and you see her come. After she weaned the child, she brings, she brings this baby, this child at this point up to Eli. He says, "I have lent him to the Lord." And you know what's interesting is later, when she comes and she visits little Samuel, she brings him a little tunic every year, and she came, and Eli blessed her for giving Samuel to the Lord, and she ended up having three more sons and two more daughters. God blessed her. do we realize what happened when she prayed that bold prayer? Because she prayed that bold prayer, she did not know that God had a purpose for little Samuel. He was to become one of the greatest prophets we know in the Old Testament. He was a young man who God began to speak to as a child, and he came and he was one of the judges over Israel. It's totally incredible. Are you at a place of desperation today? Is there something today that you want to be bold in 2019 and you're going to be like Hannah and pray a bold prayer? Take a moment, think about that. Is there a place of desperation? Is there a place of grief? Is there a place that, God, I need, I must see you move? What prayer in 2019 will you pray? I also ask you in 2019, what will you pray for our church in 2019? What bold, what outrageous prayer? One thing I really enjoy from this book, as I've been going through that book, The Circle Maker, is he talks about how God wants bold prayers. Now we come to God, the Almighty God who holds the universe in his hand, and we come with these little piddly prayers. He hears those because he knows when the sparrow falls. He loves us. But I wonder if he looks at us and goes, you know what? This is who I'm me, and that's all you're asking? That God wants us to ask prayers that only he can answer. What prayers for you personally will you ask for God in 2019? And you will pray that prayer the entire year until God answers it. And what prayer for Grace Crossing Church as we pray for our community? What prayer will you pray in 2019, the bold prayer? I'd like the kids to help me out. If we could turn the lights on here. Kids, I would like you guys, I'm going to open this container. If you don't have a pen, raise your hand. Kids, could you hand out a piece of paper to everybody? Kids, you also get a piece of paper. Come up here. McKenna, Olivia, anybody else who wants to help? Cora, you come out. That'd be great. Three kids would be great. And if you need a pen, raise your hand. If you need a piece of paper, raise your hand. I'm going to have the kids pass out the piece of paper and pass out pens as needed. I would like everyone here, including the kids, to have a piece of paper and have a pen. Let me open that for you. You know, I would get one that you almost need a knife for, huh? In the 1 week, I don't have a knife. Does anyone have a knife here? I was expecting Terry to have a knife. Okay, will you take that to Doug and get that opened up for us? I'm sorry, normally I'm used to those opening right up. When you get the piece of paper, when you get this pen, and are you waiting for a pen? Okay, a paper? Okay, we need a paper over here, you guys, to Kathy. Cora, right over here, Kathy over here. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Raise your hand, the kids can see, okay? Okay, thank you so much, McKenna. And as she hands out the pen, I want you guys take a moment. Some over here, guys. What prayers in 2019 will you pray in boldness? What bold prayers of 2019? I want you guys to put some personal prayer needs. And I want you, what would you like to see here at Grace Crossing? What are you asking God? I'm asking you for our church what to pray in boldness for 2019. As you guys are thinking about that for a moment, I'll tell you two prayers I'm praying for 2019 for our church. And I shared this last week. You need one, girl? Okay, let me give you a couple more here. Anybody else need one of these? Okay? Two bold prayers I have for 2019 is I'm praying for a young youth leader to come over and help Johnny and Robert with our kids. Okay. Okay, yeah, just let me know. We could talk about that more later. But yeah, one of my bold prayers, I'm asking for a youth leader, a guy who comes in and has a passion for youth to help Johnny and Robert, has the energy to go to the games, visit the kids, love the kids, and teach the word. And two, I'm praying for a children's church coordinator, someone who will come every week and oversee our teachers, our classroom, that they have all their need and have a passion for that. So pray that, though those are two prayers I'm asking for 2019. But to take a moment, ask the Lord. Just take a moment to think about what are you boldly going to ask God? Something that maybe God, only something that God could answer for 2019. So just take a few moments to write down your prayers. You may have to pull the tip off. Sometimes there's a little tip on the end of them. Bold prayers, personal bold prayers. And one thing, you kids, keep these prayers and you give them to your parents so they could keep them for you this year. So you guys could be praying at nighttime with your kids. Wouldn't that be a great way through the 40 days of prayer and fasting for the families to have a night with their kids, that they just spend time with their kids praying for each other and for the church? That's another prayer meeting right there. Have a family prayer meeting. Start that these next 40 days. So just take a moment. What bold prayers are you going to ask God? As you're writing those down, one recommendation is during your prayer times, begin to have, I'm not a big journaler, my wife is, but I just sometimes just write down some of the main things that God puts on my heart, and I'll write it in my, like a little prayer part of my journal, and then you do that throughout the next 40 days, throughout the next year, as we're bold in prayers, you can look back and see, like if God gives you a scripture, write down the scripture. If he gives you someone on your mind, you just put their name on that. I prayed for this about this, whatever. Don't make it like homework. Make it as just a record so that you go back and see what God will do on those prayers as you pray for them. One testimony of prayer. Some prayers God answers seems quickly. Other prayers take time. And my dad, when he went to his dad's funeral, my grandpa, he went back, and my dad, as he went to the funeral, he ran into his old Methodist Sunday school teacher. And the Methodist Sunday school teacher heard that my parents were part of Mormonism for 18 years. And she came and he asked my dad, "Hey, I heard you left the Mormon church." He knew my dad and my mom were in the Mormon church. He said, "I heard you left the Mormon church." And my dad's like, "Yes, brother, so-and-so, he did." And he goes, "You know what? I prayed the last 18 years that you would leave the Mormon church." That prayer took 18 years to answer. So just as we think of prayer, it's on God's timeline. But are we willing to pray it through until God answers? A few more minutes. We don't have to have any certain amount, just whatever God puts on your mind. Okay. Bold prayers that only God can answer. Is there anyone, before we start get ready for communion, is there anyone here who say, "I have a prayer that's bold, but I want everyone to know so they could pray with me over that bold prayer. Because, right, so you still have the piece of papers, so you can put this on the back or whatever, but is there anybody here who'd say, there's a bold prayer I have, I don't want to pray this prayer alone, and I want the body of Christ to know? Is there anybody who'd be willing to share a prayer need? Okay. Does? And one promise we could circle, a promise that we could circle that would be like Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds. Circle that. It's God's will for us to overcome areas of its fear, anxiety. He can give us a strength to overcome. Thank you, Crystal. Anybody else? See, these are prayers. I hope some of you guys are writing these down so as we begin to pray for each other and for our church community. Anybody else? Okay, that's great. Church growth. Okay. Well, for our leaders, what bold prayer will we ask for God for church growth that only He can do? Just something you're thinking about. We'll be having our leadership meeting in 2 weeks. What bold prayers will we be praying that God will add to the church? And so, you guys, what I want to do now is I just want to lift all these prayers to the Lord. And then we'll have communion as we remember the body and blood of Jesus. But let's just lift these prayers. God heard every prayer here today. And these are prayers that we could be praying during our Wednesday night prayer meeting. There's other prayers that you want later, come to me, that you want included on our Wednesday night prayer meetings. We could include that. I need to find our prayer box again so people can start putting the prayers in that for this season of 40 days of prayer and fasting. But let me just lift this up to the Lord. If you have the worship team come forward. And let me just lift up these requests to God. Father, as we approach, Lord, next Sunday, our 40 days of prayer and fasting, I ask God to teach us to pray. I ask God that some here that may be fearful or don't know how to pray, that you would step in and show us the power of your presence in prayer. We ask God for you to come and change our lives. God, we need you. We don't want to live a lukewarm life. We're tired of just living in fear and anxiety even. We want to be bold. We want to experience your presence. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. We invite you to come and to move in our midst. We ask, we give you permission to take those areas of our life that hold us from you. We give you permission to expose those, to show us so we could repent and turn to you. We come to you, God, and we ask, Holy Spirit, come, move. Pour forth your Spirit among us. We are not content just to live lukewarm, Lord. We want to be on fire for you. So we do ask for that outpouring of your Spirit in our midst. And we just lift up all these. We lift up Brian. We lift up Tori Lynn. We lift up Crystal's foot, my wife's, Diana's anxiety, Crystal and Dylan's anxiety. We ask for church growth. We lift every need here, and Lord, we will begin to ask and ask that you, Lord, would come and answer our prayers. We come. We need you. We're desperate for you, God. We believe you will answer. We believe you want to move. And God, we will not stop asking until you move on our behalf.